Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event, now on at your Opel dealer.
Well, were you watching it, folks? If I'm sounding a little bit tired, I think it's because I probably peaked this morning at around about 6:30, watching Kelly Harrington become possibly just the second Irish woman after Katie Taylor to win an Olympic gold medal for boxing. The 31-year-old has secured at least a silver medal after this titanic win over Thailand's Sudaporn Seesondee earlier on this morning. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a look ahead to Sunday's final with Eric Donovan, as well as the latest from Tokyo with Des Cahill. But Kelly's win has obviously sparked great scenes of joy this morning inside in Portland Row in Dublin. North inner city. Our reporter Barry Lenehan is in the midst of it. Have they calmed down yet, Barry?
Yeah, you may have peaked, Philip, but there's no sense of them peaking around here on Portland Road this morning. Teeming rain here in Dublin's north inner city, but that's not dampening the enthusiasm as everyone here now looking ahead, celebrating this morning's hard-fought titanic win, but looking ahead now to Sunday's final and the prospect, as you mentioned, of Kelly Harrington emulating Katie Taylor's success in the lightweight division in London in 2012. Kelly, of course, just the 18th Irish Olympic medal for boxing since John McNally in Helsinki in 1952. And where I'm standing here at the moment, Portland Row, Croke Park in my eyeline, a row of terraced red brick houses, all decorated in the tricolour, all with Kelly Harrington posters with the tagline "O Mór Dar Léacra Ó Tuala," best of luck to our local hero. And if I pivot to my left here, up to my left is Corinthians Boxing Club, where Kelly Harrington started off her career. She wanted to jump in the ring. They wouldn't let her initially as she was up against the boys, but she got her chance, and by God, has she taken it. But as you say, they were up here from very early this morning around Portland Row. I arrived at around 5:30, full of darkness, very still. The fight at 6:00, you could hear a pin drop on the road. But then when Kelly's hand raised in victory after that hard-fought victory over her Thai opponent, the first person you could actually hear shout was an RTE cameraman who perhaps got a bit ahead of himself. And then one by one, the doors opened along here, along Portland Row, and everybody, all the neighbours, flocked down wearing dressing gowns, slippers, pyjamas, carrying mugs of hot tea and coffee, flow down towards the bottom of Portland Row, where Kelly's parents were watching it in their home, Christy Senior and Yvonne, who prayed during the fight, as well as her brother as well. But special mention as well to the two neighbours who actually called to the Harrington household in the middle of round one, looking to get in to watch it with the family. Of course, they weren't answered until round two. Down to my right is the bust of Luke Kelly, and his words spring to mind, of course, the famous song "Dublin in the Rare Old Times." These are rare old times, is what people here have been telling me, in Portland Row, thanks to Kelly Harrington, as we can hear now.
It was a hard-fought battle.
It was. She was brilliant.
Nerve-wracking, but she's amazing. She's incredible. Like, literally, I'm buzzing for her.
She's an inspiration for this area, man. There, but now it's going to be a tough fight in the final for her. Kelly's a great fighter. Kelly's one of her own, you know. She's a dub, through and through, double and one. And even one child follows in her footsteps. That's the next Kelly.
And she spoke of trying to get her opportunity across the road here in Corinthians Boxing Club, waiting for her opportunity to come to get in the ring, and finally it came, and look at her now.
From the area, and it's nice to say that where she came from. But Hebra, I mean, I would be Hebra, no matter what. Brilliant she is. Brilliant. Yay, Kelly!
I feel like I'm only 20. I'm that much up, up and up, and I'm going up. We carry up to the top.
She's 6,000 miles away at the moment, but if she was in front of you, what would you say to her?
I throw my arms around her, and I bless her, and thank Jesus for what he gave us in Kelly. Famous for every one of us in Portland Road.
You're in there watching the fight with the family. Yeah, yeah. What was it like?
Absolutely fantastic. Eva was outside doing her prayers, as usual. She didn't come into the sitting room, so we all started roaring.
You left it late enough. I saw you knocking on the door during the first round.
Yeah. We just had to go over to support her.
What will Yvonne do for the final now?
She'll probably hide in the bedroom.
Saying her rosary.
We knew she'd do it. She's brilliant. She's going to get the gold.
And everyone here in Portland Road, they're out in their pajamas. You have is a tea or coffee as well.
Kelly will always be number one for us in the inner city.
It's fantastic. I'm just going to stuff awards, it's really, because the last 2 years have been locked down and depressed. Come the weekend, we're going to have a great time. So all I'm saying is, Michael Martin and Leo, get the finger out.
You want a big screen, is it?
We have a football pitch around here. The community here get together and clean her up and have it ready, you know what I mean? It's not going to be 50,000. All we want is something that we can watch, sit down and look. And that we deserve that.
The seeds in Portland Row very early this morning, just after Kelly's win at around 6:30. Now, we heard calls there for a big screen to be erected for Sunday's final. However, it's believed Dublin City Council have ruled out this prospect, but the local councillor, Neil Ring, telling me in the last few minutes how plans are already afoot for a major homecoming on top of an open-top bus or even horse and carriage, he says, all along here in Portland Row. That's what the people were looking for. They want to greet their hero Kelly when she comes back in a few days' time. They are adamant that she will be back with an Olympic gold medal, and that they have predicted this from a long way off. But directly in my eyeline at the moment is the Harrington household, where there are five sunflowers out at the front to a symbol of the Olympic sign. Lots of homemade cards from local schools as well, and tricolours. And I've been speaking to the family there, starting with Kelly's father, Christopher Senior, and also her brother Joel.
The girl prepared to start preparing for Kelly, not for the Olympics, for Kelly 4 years ago. That's what she done, and that's what Kelly made a comment to one of the papers, saying I think she's stupid. I'm not the only. Do you know what I mean? Why is she preparing for me? She should be preparing for the Olympics. So that's what that girl put into that.
Yeah, because there was a bullseye on the back, so to speak.
Yeah. For 4 years, that girl studied everything Kelly done, everything. And she proved it on the night, the way she boxed Kelly. Kelly had to be at her best to win that. And she was.
How were you during the fight? I know Yvonne doesn't watch it. Was she worse than the last day? Was she?
When we got the result, she was so emotional. She was worse than Kelly. You know, for emotion, she was worse.
How will you survive until Sunday?
God knows.
Partridge. That was a partridge in
cycles. That's our team. So we're following all our team, and that's what it's about. It's about the tricolour, green, white and orange. There's five sunflowers in that. It represents the five rings of the Olympics. So hopefully he'll bloom again Sunday.
Any message to Christopher Junior in Iceland?
What do you think of that, Christoph? Just, you know, I don't even know what to say to him. Genie Max. We always knew she could do it, Christopher. And he pushed her as well. He's fairly driven.
When did you know, or when did you think she could become an Olympic champion?
Kelly's always been talented. It's just a case of all of her falling into shape, like, but it's always been there. There's never been a question of Kelly's talent. Our accolades in boxing suggest that, and they're kind of proven, you know.
It was more to break down barriers than to prove what she could do in the ring. That was Kelly's biggest fight, breaking down barriers to get where she got.
Everything that she's done and everything that she has and what she's brought to the community, and that's forever, like. That's a legacy.
How are you? Right? It's good to see you.
So you can't really put a medal on that, you know.
Christy Senior and Joel speaking to Barry Lenehan there, and we have actually managed to track down the brother in Iceland. Christopher, good morning. It is the same time zone there, isn't it? How are you?
No, we're an hour behind.
Yeah, but I'd say it wouldn't matter. I'd say you're on cloud nine.
Yeah, something like that.
Tense for everybody here watching it. What was it like for you, particularly as we got into that second round where everybody was a little bit more hesitant?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tense fight all round. But Kelly landed a couple of lovely lefts, and I think that's where she won it, I think. Tense, but to be honest with you, once you got them couple of lefts in, I thought that was it, to be honest with you.
Explain that strategy to me, because obviously she had a height advantage and a reach advantage, and she went in there in the first round making full advantage of that. But it was allowing Sudhapur and Seasundee up in the middle, wasn't it?
I mean, I think it would be unfair to any boxing coach or anybody involved in boxing for me to try to explain tactic or what she was trying to do, because I'm not a boxing coach. So all I can say is that she went in, gave her best, and her best was good enough, you know. So yeah, obviously tense moments, but she came through and we're just all delighted.
Because, you know, people have the idea of overnight success here, which is, of course, so totally not the case. This woman has put in not just her 10,000 hours into this sport, but hundreds of thousands of hours at this stage.
Yeah. I mean, it's a culmination of, like we said, 10, 12, 15 years of work. It's not just a couple of years, weeks, months. It's a point that she's been on, a journey that she's been on for the last 10 to 15 years, and she's arriving now at the pinnacle, and deservedly so.
And when was the first time that the word Olympics was mentioned in the family?
I think just obviously when she moved weight class, when she moved down to 60 kilo, that was the goal, to obviously qualify for the Olympics, you know. That was a few years ago, two, three years ago, we should think.
Okay.
And that was our ultimate goal in terms of moving the weight class was to get to the Olympics, you know. She had that as a target and walked like a dog to get there.
Yeah, this never seemed like a pipe dream. This was always something that was a very, very realizable goal for her.
Yeah, I mean, she had a dream. Obviously, it was a dream to get into the Olympics, but a very, in Kelly's eyes, and I think obviously in our coach's eyes and our support, the support team around her, was obviously a feasible dream as well. And she and they and everybody around her have made it a reality.
And give me an idea of the character of the woman here. Is she a woman who dreams about Olympic gold, or is she the kind of woman who visualises herself standing in the ring being awarded the gold?
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest with you. You know, obviously she's the type of person that takes everything kind of in her stride, you know. But I think we'd be foolish to say that once you get to that point, you don't dream about it. I think any athlete in the world, once they've reached the stage and the level that she's at, does dream about being a gold medalist, you know. So yeah, I mean, of course she dreams about her, and in terms of visualization, only she can answer that, you know.
I love the picture, the idea of your mum just being too stressed by all of this to ever watch any of the bouts, and stands outside praying. How long is it since she's actually seen Kelly fight live?
I think the last time she's seen Kelly fight live was when we were together, actually, in the National Stadium in the Irish National Championships when Kelly won it. And I think that was probably, what was that, two, three years ago.
Okay.
So that would have been the last time, I think, that my ma would have watched her live.
And it's just too much for the nerves.
yeah, she's definitely a bag of nerves, my ma, when it comes to Kelly fighting.
Well, we can't alter the formula now, I'm afraid. She's going to have to stay out in the backyard, isn't she, praying? Because it would jinx everything if she came inside to watch now, wouldn't it?
Well, I tell you what, my dad and my brother will kick her out if she tries to.
All right, Christopher, listen, thank you very much for taking the call in Iceland. I'm joined in studio by Eric Donovan, boxing expert and commentator. Eric, let's go through it, can we, round by round? Because as I was just saying to Christopher there, even to a complete untrained eye like mine, it was very obvious that she went in there in that first round and she was going to exploit her height and her reach advantage.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's I said this before. When you get into the semi-finals of the Olympic Games, it's the business end. And I mentioned that the four boxers that were left in the semi-final were capable of winning the Olympic gold medal. It all boils down to performance. Who can stay calm and composed in the heat of battle? And in that fight, the first round was very, very, very important, because we said the majority of boxers who win the first round tend to go on and win the fight. They capture the judges' eyes, you know, early on.
And she did. Well, she won 3-2 in the first round.
She did in the first round. And, you know, it was kind of split as well, but it was still... still a very good performance. She came back winning. You want your boxer to come back winning at the end of the first round. The last thing you want them to do is to be changing to plan B or plan C and trying to chase and get back in the fight. But she managed to win that first round.
Okay, and then in round two, it all started to look a little bit more hesitant. Again, to my untrained eye, or do you think that there was a strategy there?
No, listen, this was a high-class, high-pace, high-octane fight between two world-class athletes. What an advertisement for women's boxing. You know, when you think back to the campaign of even the Katie Taylor days, trying to get women's boxing into Olympic Games and to... convince the people in the know that, you know, we are capable.
But what was going on then? Because they were circling around each other, and the referee had to tell them a couple of times, get in there, ladies.
Yes, because what was happening was both boxers were trying to set traps for each other. They were trying to force the other one into a false sense of security, make them miss and counterpunch, you know. And the room for error was so small. There was none. There was no room for error. At this level, you can't really make mistakes because you'd be punished. And that's, so when the referee says that to you, you know, it does kind of offset you a little bit, and it can distract you, you know. But I think you know, Kelly and C. Sundee, they managed to kind of engage a little bit when the ref said that, but at the same time they weren't going to fall for it either. They were trying to keep composed.
Okay. Now, they came out of that second round with two judges each in their corners, so to speak.
Well, what happened after the second round, Kelly was up 20-18 on two judges' scorecards, Judge 1 and Judge 2. Now, there's five judges. Judge 5 had 2018 to C. Sundee, and Judge 3 and 4, these were the important judges now going into the last round. They had it 19-19, so they had it level. So C. Sundee needed to win the fight. She needed to get the last round on Judge 3 and 4's cards. Everybody else didn't matter. Kelly needed to get it on either just 3 or 4. Just one of them had to kind of go for Kelly. Mm-hmm. And in the last round, C. Sundee won the last round, but number 3 judge, the Cuban judge, gave it to Kelly. Okay. And we needed that.
And we saw her employing a slightly different tactic here. No longer was that right arm right out in front of her. She was adopting a more traditional stance. What was she doing?
But she was, but she at times she had to fight and box. You know, Kelly has so much kind of versatility to her game, and she needs it too, right? Because you can't be, let's say, a one-trick pony, so to speak. You know, you can't just have the one kind of game. Kelly has all the tools, and she had to kind of switch from orthodox to southpaw and keep doing that throughout to try and get a foothold in the fight and to try and stay ahead of C. Sundee, because C. Sundee was trying absolutely everything. But Kelly remained composed in the end and managed to get the job done. She said it in her interview that she doesn't know what happened. She doesn't know whether it was the hook or the straight. And I'll tell you, that's because she's operating on autopilot. It's instinctive. But she's 31 years of age. It's a lifetime's work. She's training hours upon hours, or days, weeks, months, years. And it's all happening in there in that moment. She's not having to think about it. It's just happening instinctively. But that's a lifetime's work.
Let's look ahead to Sunday and 6 a.m. now, and this gold medal bout against Brazil's Beatriz Ferreira. Does she, Kelly, have a height advantage over Ferreira again? Might we see a similar tactic being employed? Or is that dangerous?
She has about a two inch height advantage, maybe two, possibly two, possibly three. But Ferreira is a different kind of an athlete now. She's unlike C. Sundee, who is a southpaw counterpuncher, tries to set traps, tries to lure you in and counterpunch you. Ferreira, the Brazilian, is ferocious. She's powerful, she's spiteful, and the way she boxed in her semi-final today was absolutely fantastic. She has this deep conviction and belief in how she performs. She beat Mira Potkonen today. Mira Potkonen is a stalwart of women's boxing, 40 years of age. We know she broke Irish hearts in Rio. She beat Katie Taylor for the medal in Rio Olympic Games. I think that was Katie Taylor's last amateur fight. She's Mira Potkun has beat Kelly four times. They met four times. She beat Kelly Harrington four times.
Okay. So you're saying she's going in the underdog.
Ferreira done a number on her today. I'm not saying she's an underdog because styles make fights. Si Sundi has beat Ferreira. Do you understand?
Okay.
Kelly has beat Si Sundi. So it's just combination of
and
different
how frequently
styles.
Have Harrington and Ferreira met before?
Never. Harrington has never met Ferreira. But the closest they came was in 2018 in New Delhi when Kelly won that world title. Ferreira was beat in the prelims by Korea, by the Korean. And the Korean was beat in the semi-final by Si Sundi from Thailand. And Kelly beat Si Sundi in the final. Okay. Now, Ferreira has improved tenfold. She won the world title in 2019. Kelly couldn't go back and defend it in 2019 because she injured her wrist and she was on the sidelines for the whole of 2019. So what you're going to have here in the Olympic final is Harrington, world champion from 2018. Ferreira, world champion from 2019. Going into the final, two world champions in the same weight category for the Olympic gold medal. It's going to be absolutely class.
Well, that's an amazing setup on your part as well. Well done. Now, take off the green jersey for a second. Be completely unemotional about this, if that is possible.
It's not possible. But anyway, go on.
As best as you can, tell me what you think is going to happen.
Well, I think Kelly Harrington has the skills, has the tools to win this fight. She absolutely has. I've absolutely no doubt in my mind. She has it. She's absolutely brilliant in everything that she does. But Ferreira is absolutely brilliant as well. And it's going to boil down to, I'm not going to say this, who wants it the most or not, because this is ridiculous. Two of these are hungry, ambitious. They're both going to want to return home as an Olympic champion. But it's going to boil down to tactics and execution, implementation of your performance. Zora Antia, John Conlon, Dimitrov, the Irish coaches out there, they're going to be working on everything. Even in Kelly's interview today, that fight against Ferreira and Potkonen was on in the background. And I could see Zora and John Conlon standing behind Kelly, looking over at the ring, watching Ferreira, watching how she's doing. They're already setting the plan. They're already setting the tactics, and Kelly will follow suit. But first round is going to be key.
Well, I tell you one thing, if you're not up at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, you can hand your Irish passport in. Eric, stay with us right now. I want to go over to Tokyo and Des.
RTE Radio 1 Sport with a Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
Kia, movement that inspires.
How's your heart, Des? Are you restored to normal and calm?
Yeah, it was very tense, wasn't it? I wish I was as healthy as Eric there, but Eric has a big fight coming up in Belfast in a few weeks. But it was extraordinary here watching, actually, the kind of silence everyone watched it in, and a nervous silence, and particularly in the first round. But it was great. And
do you mean you couldn't hear Portland Row over there in Tokyo? I'm surprised, frankly.
And I love the way you sent a Kerry man in there, but looking up at Croke Park from there. But it was fantastic. And she's, I mean, Eric would have referred to it. She's been so composed. I'm really impressed with how she has been managed in terms of the pressure that was on her. Because I said to you, she was over a year waiting to see would she actually get into the games. You know that because of COVID, etc. The London qualifier was abandoned in March of 2020 on the day she was to fight. It was a disaster for her, a year of hanging and waiting. And I think psychologically that can be very tough for any sports person when everything is geared towards an event and you're not going to know until 6 weeks before it if you're in it, even though you have to prepare for 2 or 3 years before it. I thought that was very interesting. Eric had Kevin McMenamin, Philip, who scored a famous goal for Dublin when they beat Kerry to dramatically win the All-Ireland final, he's involved with the boxing team now on the sports psychology side. It's an interesting change for a fellow who's involved in Croke Park to be involved in that side. But I think Kelly is managing it all very well because it's such a high-pressure thing, isn't it?
And what would he be bringing to it, Des?
Well, I was going to ask Eric that.
Well, as far as I know, he's working in the area of sports psychology now. So, I wouldn't mind. I spoke with the Irish team there earlier on in the year as well.
Hakuna Matata, that kind of thing,
yeah,
wouldn't it be, Eric?
It's a laid back approach. Kevin, actually, he reached out to me there a while back. He said he'd like to meet up with me. We never got a chance to meet up just to have a chat about the Irish boxing team. So it shows a willingness on his behalf that he wants to learn a bit more about the team. He knows I've spent over 10 years on the high performance team, and he's trying to kind of you know, develop and learn and work with these guys. But he brings his own kind of, I suppose, his experiences from a team sport, but also the mental strength as well that he would have acquired having to come on and make an impact as well for Dublin for so many years, you know, sitting there waiting, knowing that you have a job to do. It can be a lot of pressure on you. So, but look, absolutely, I think what Kelly's doing is she's using everything around her. She's using the support network. She's mentioned her club coaches back home, which is so important, because without the club coaches in Ireland, we wouldn't have days like this. You know, the high performance coaches are there. You've got Zora Antia, John Conlon, Dimitrov. Those guys are high performance coaches. But the club coaches are nurturing and developing and guiding young boxers through life as well as sport, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have days like this. So it's great to hear Kelly acknowledging that as well in her interviews. She's so humble, class act. Anna Moore as well.
And Philip, sorry Eric, but that's one thing that I find interesting. Like boxing, amateur boxing tends to get its day in the sun at the Olympics when we show we compete with the best in the world, and yet it doesn't get probably the publicity it deserves in between those times. And it's the nature of human life and sport and TV, etc., that we all jump on good performances. But it's interesting that even the Sport Ireland programme of how we develop and how we spent our money around the Olympics, and there is more money being spent on it, and how it's targeted at where we can achieve. And there will be a review done after these games, Philip, where you know, what has worked, where has the money been well spent, where has it not been well spent. But boxing is a sport that has proven time and again it deserves to be supported, not just for Olympic level, but across the board.
But look, there are so many sports, not just amateur boxing, that could complain that they don't get a look in between the GAA, the rugby and the soccer and so on, not least, right now, pentathlon and Natalia Coyle. What's happening there, Des?
Well, what's happening there is tomorrow is the big day for her, really, but she's in third place after the initial stages, and it's the early stages defence. Tomorrow is a day when she'll have all of the disciplines tomorrow. And this is another bit of my useless information, I'm afraid, Philip, but it is one that people would still talk about if they didn't know the background to it. The modern pentathlon has fencing, swimming, horse riding, shooting and running, okay, five disciplines. And what have those five things got in common? Well, they go back to the creation of the modern pentathlon for the Olympics. And they're the five disciplines you'd need if you were to escape from behind enemy lines. Now, the Swedish organiser of the 1912 Games, a military man, says he came up with the idea, but Pierre de Coubertin, the man credited with organising the modern Olympics, he created the contest to simulate the experience of a 19th century cavalry soldier behind enemy lines. So what you have to do is you have to be able to swim, you have to be able to run, you have to be able to shoot, fence in close combat, and the horse riding. And the horse riding element is very interesting tomorrow, because you don't bring your horse and ride your horse. You draw a horse and then you have to get up on it and compete. You don't know which horse you're going to get, because if you're escaping from behind enemy lines, you just have to get whatever horse you can in your escape. So it's the same thing is replicated there. They're just given a horse and they don't know what horse they're going to get.
Lucky for you, Des,
all of those skills.
Lucky for you, all you have to do is just board the plane at Narita Airport. Des, thank you very much. We'll hear more from you later. And Eric Donovan, thank you very much for coming into us as well. But take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.